This is class number 12 in the second semester analysis of literature course. Today in the lecture, we consider the literature found in chapter 12 of the student textbook, and we will continue to do so in the next two classes. Your written assignment for chapter 12 are questions 1, 13, 20, and 26 in the Analysis of Literature Student Workbook Assignment. The format of your answers to the questions should be as follows. Question 1, a short answer. Question 13, at least one paragraph, maybe two. Question 20, a short answer. And question 26, a short answer. Now let's begin to consider the play, The Merchant of Venice, which is featured in Chapter 12 of your textbook. First of all, with respect to the playwright, of course, is William Shakespeare. William Shakespeare lived between 1564 and 1616. He is perhaps one of the most famous playwrights in the English language and perhaps even in the world. And he is especially noted for his ability to compose very creative lines in terms of just the beauty, using the beauty of the English language and bringing it out. Also in terms of the plots are something that is very appealing to many people. Shakespeare is very famous playwright. He also was a very famous poet, and we have already considered some of his sonnets. Now, with respect to the setting of the play, it takes place in Venice. It would seem to have taken place during the High Middle Ages. The reason why it seems to be before the Reformation and Renaissance period, or at least the later Renaissance period, is because, first of all, you do not see in the play any evidence of the antagonism between Protestants and Roman Catholics, that division that later came into full fruition during the Protestant Reformation. There's no evidence of that. Also, it would appear that the play, in terms of its setting, is when Venice was at the height of its power and its wealth. And this would be before, for instance, Spain in 1492 discovered the New World and trade routes to the east, and before Portugal was engaging in trade around Africa. So this period before then, in the High Middle Ages, and at the very beginning of the Renaissance period, is when Venice was at its height. It and other Italian cities monopolized trade in the Eastern Mediterranean, and it was there by which Europeans got goods from the Middle East and Asia, and by which Europe could trade with Asia. So at that time, during the High Middle Ages and the early Renaissance period, it was really the height of the Venice's power and wealth. And it would seem that in this play, that is the situation. All right. In terms of the significance of the setting, it seems to be that this is a time of great wealth of the place. It would also be a case where there was a general agreement among professing Christians. Now, in terms of the major characters of the play, some of the major characters include Shylock. He is portrayed as a very greedy and mean and cruel Jew. And another major character in the play is Antonio. He is portrayed as being rather melancholic. He said that all the world is a stage, and his part in it was a sad one. So this is the general appearance of Antonio throughout the play, someone who is given to melancholy. And then another major character in the play is Portia. She comes across as being very beautiful and very witty, and that is how she is portrayed. Those are some of the major characters in this play. Now, most of Shakespeare's plays are written in iambic pentameter, and it would seem to be the case with this particular one as well. This is certainly a notable feature, one which illustrates just how versatile Shakespeare was with the English language. By iambic pentameter, we mean there are 5 meters or feet to a line. And iambic means long, short, long, short. So each iambic foot would be have a long syllable and then a short syllable. And it tends to make the sound of a drum beat. Da, 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 da. Now, Shakespeare not only in this play incorporated much a gift of words, but he also incorporated humor. This play, Merchant of Venice, would fall under the category of a comedy. The two major categories of plays are comedy and tragedy. And according to their classical definition, a play which has a happy ending or was considered, according to classical standards, to be a comedy, one which had a sad ending was considered a tragedy. And by that definition, then, this is certainly a comedy. In terms of the language, in terms of much in this play, it even according to modern definitions would be considered a comedy because Shakespeare incorporated many humorous elements in the play itself. There are many witticisms, and we will consider some of those in more detail in another lecture and class. One controversial aspect of this play are the elements that some perceive to be anti-Semitic, especially the way Shylock is portrayed and the very fact that he is portrayed as fitting with what common stereotypes are of Jews. And this has made the play controversial for many. And one thing that is interesting to note that is that at the time that Shakespeare wrote this play, there were no Jews allowed in England. There had been for several hundred years a law in England essentially forbidding a Judaist from residing in England. Now, I would like to read some quotes from the play, and then I would like us to consider them. Let me read one quote, and this is a quote by Bassanio while he is in the courtroom. All right, it goes like this. Antonio, I am married to a wife, which is as dear to me as life itself. But life itself, my wife, and all the world are not with me esteemed above thy life. I would lose all, sacrifice them all, here to this devil to deliver you. Unquote. Now, we see in this line an example of the humor which is incorporated in this play. We see that these lines are stated by Bassanio when he does not realize that his Portia is in his presence and she is hearing this, but the audience knows that she is there, and obviously she could not be happy with these words of Bassanio. So we have then in this quote an example of the sort of humor that is replete in this play, Merchant of Venice. Let's consider another a quote from the play. Here it is. Nor is the wide world ignorant of her worth, for the winds blow in from every coast renowned suitors, and her sunny locks hang on her temples like a golden fleece, which makes her seat of Belmont, Caucasus strand, and many Jasons come in quest of her. Well, we see in this quote that there are allusions to the past. First of all, one question we should ask about this quote is which character in the play, Merchant of Venice, is being described in the quote? And the answer to that is Portia is being described. She is being compared to the Golden Fleece. And in particular, her hair is considered to the Golden Fleece. She apparently has blonde hair. It is described as having sunny locks in this quote. To understand the writings of Shakespeare, it is necessary to have a background knowledge in ancient literature. And this is an example because there are many allusions in this quote to stories from the ancient past, and a particular story about Jason and the Argonauts who search for the Golden Fleece. When it speaks here of Caucasus strand, Caucasus, according to the story, was an area. Caucasus was the king of an area which had gold. It had a golden fleece. And Jason had come in search of it. And that the seat of Belmont, which is the estate where Portia, family held, it is compared to Caucasus Strand. In other words, the territory where this King Caucasus had ruled, and it was famous for its gold. And many Jasons came in search of that gold. Similarly, many Jasons, by analogy, came wanting to obtain Portia's hand in marriage. And so that is the allusion in this quote from the play. Finally, let's consider this quote, more extended quote from the play. It says this, "The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes. 'Tis mightiest in the mightiest. It becomes the throned monarch better than his crown. His scepter shows the force of the temporal power. The attribute to awe and majesty, wherein doth sit the dread and fear of kings. But mercy is above this sceptered sway. It is enthroned in the hearts of kings. It is an attribute to God himself. And earthly power doth then show like us gods, when mercy seasons justice. Therefore, Jew, though justice be thy plea, consider this, that in the course of justice, none of us should see salvation. We do pray for mercy, and that same prayer doth teach us all to render the deeds of mercy. I have spoken thus much to mitigate the justice of thy plea, which if thou follow, this strict court of Venice must needs give sentence against the merchant there. Now, in this quote, this is a quote by the character Portia in the play. The context of the quote is the courtroom scene. The character to which it is directed is Shylock. In the first line, which reads, "The quality of mercy is not strained," it means by that true mercy is abundantly forgiving. It is not stingy. It is open in terms of its forgiveness. In terms of the line, "In the course of justice, none of us should see salvation." Of course, what this means is that no humans, if punished for their sins, would no one would be saved if the sins of each of us were to be come upon us, if the due punishment for our sins were to come, then we would all, by justice, be punished for our sins. And in terms of this quote, Portia goes on to say, "In the course of justice, none of us should see salvation." This statement was even applied to the Jew, Shylock, to show how, if the quote were applied to the Jew, that the Jew too would be in trouble. Now, there are certain questions we should consider about this quote. In terms of how Portia adjudicated the case. For instance, should the contract between Shylock and Antonio even be considered a valid contract? Portia seems to suggest that it is a valid contract. But should it be a valid contract? And I think the answer is no, because a contract cannot stipulate something that is illegal. And surely manslaughter is illegal, as it properly should be, and therefore this contract should be considered null and void. A proper contract can never require that which is and should be illegal. So then the question is, did Portia properly adjudicate this case? And that is something I would like you to consider before our next lecture. Did Portia properly adjudicate this case? And another question I would like you to consider is how Protestantism and Roman Catholicism have much in common. They have much of the same terminology in terms of salvation, in terms of mercy, in terms of justice. As well, they are both Trinitarian. But there are also some major differences. And how do they understand justice differently, for instance, and how is that different conception relevant to our analysis of this play of Shakespeare? Which concept of justice does he seem to accept in according to this play? So those are some things that I would like you students to consider before the next lecture class. Was this case properly adjudicated? And was it adjudicated in a way that's more consistent with Roman Catholic conceptions of justice are more in line with Protestant conceptions of justice, and how does the Protestant conception of justice differ from the Roman Catholic conception of justice? So, with those questions, let's close today's class.